Everybody, I'm very glad to be back, and I will try to be as loud as I can. That is not a common request for me. Surprise, surprise. So it's the speakers that are giving us trouble, huh? They're buzzing? Okay. Y'all want me to come stand down here? Somebody's got to bring me a Sunday school, a music stand or something. I can do that. If I'm okay here, just wave at me. I'm okay? All right. Good. Well, we had started on the Sermon on the Mount. And so let me just kind of remind us a little bit about that. Matthew 5, Jesus has gathered the crowds have gathered around Jesus, and he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." That's the first half. Let's take a minute and pray, and we'll look at blessed are the meek today, all right? Father God, thank you for Lord, thank you for the season that reminds us about the importance of gratitude. Lord, thank you for the season that looks forward to the celebration of the birth of Christ. And Lord, may we not get lost in the lights and the sounds and the celebrations of Christmas and forget gift of your Son. And Lord, we pray that you would today speak to us through the Word of God. Use it to give instruction and correction. Help us to not just be hearers, but to be doers of the Word. God, bless us to that end for the kingdom's sake. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the beatitude to look at today, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, is one that is difficult to understand and maybe the most difficult to live out. Now, all of these are challenging. They all call us to something deeper than superficial Christianity. They call us to something more than casual Christian life. So we have one of the reasons we have some trouble is coming up with how do we define meekness. Were we trying to track down the sound? Don't worry about it. Let me finish, okay? All right. It may be, it's certainly difficult to define and certainly difficult to live. And in many ways, it's easier to say what it's not when it's talking about meekness. Because when we think about meekness, we tend to think of somebody who's very introverted, very quiet, never says says anything against anything, never disagrees, right? They just, oh yes, certainly, all the time. They just agree to everything. And we can certainly imagine the extremes of that. One is a person who would be agreeable all the time, and the other end would be what? Somebody who's disagreeable all the time. Well, neither one of those seem to have much place in the kingdom of God. So some look at it and say, Jesus is giving us a contrast, and that person who's always talking and always got an opinion and always has to make sure their opinion is heard. You've been in those business meetings, right? One person will speak up, and they'll have something hard to say, and really nobody agrees with them. But we don't want to cause a problem, and so we just let them have their way. sometimes we think that's meekness, just being quiet, letting them have their way. But that's not really what the biblical word is. See, when we think of meekness, we tend to think of somebody who's indecisive. They can't make up their mind. They're timid is a good word. They cringe all the time. They're fearful. But in reality, the word is more about being under control. Perhaps you've heard it explained this way. It was a word that was used for military horses. Now, military horses were trained back in the day, were trained in a very different way than horses we see today. We see horses in rodeos. We see bucking horses, right? They're trained to buck. We see cutting horses. When I was in seminary, I worked for a couple that had cutting horses, and these were horses worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. This was back in the 80s. They were just worth so much money, and the prizes were just incredible, and the stud fees and the foals were worth astronomical amounts of money. Horses today that would be worth in the millions of dollars, very specifically trained for cutting horses. Well, in the same way, military horses were trained in a certain way, so that when there was a loud noise or shouting or the sound of weapons, or if there was some kind of injury or pain, they would not be frightened and flee. They were trained to be under control of the rider. And that word meekness, the word, the original language word that is translated here, meekness, is also a word that is used of those horses, those military animals that are under control of the rider. So we could very easily say here, blessed are those who are under the control of the Holy Spirit. That might be a better translation for us in 2024 in the United States of America and perhaps around the world. Best blessed are those who are under the control of the Holy Spirit. See, that just seems almost completely different than its reading and translation as meek. Now, we use the word meek because that was the word used in the King James translation back in the 1600s, and it's just been kept this entire time. Almost 500 years, we've kept that same, a little over 400, we've kept that same translation. But the essence of it, the depth of it, it really is different. It's about being under control. And that starts with this attitude that has been in all of the Beatitudes. It is as much an attitude of the heart as it is an action. It is a right assessment of who I am in Jesus. It is an accurate opinion of myself. In other words, you see yourself the way Jesus sees you. For some, that would be lower than you see yourself. A person who's filled with pride would need to see themselves lower, because Jesus would look at them in a different way than a prideful man or a prideful woman. And other people, they would need to see themselves as higher, because they think so poorly of themselves. They think there is nothing good in them, even with Jesus, and so they need to think more highly of themselves. It is an accurate assessment of who we are. Blessed are the poor. So that means we recognize our spiritual poverty and we mourn that spiritual bankruptcy. But the meek person understands that moral spiritual poverty and mourns. There's not a place for arrogance or self-centeredness or pride. Now, There's a second part. It's not just a way of thinking, blessed are the meek, so that we think the right way. There's another part to this, and that is that it propels us to action. Blessed are the meek. We tend to think of the word meek, and it means do nothing. Sit back, don't cause a ruckus. But that's not the heart of the word. The words here, there are actually two words in the original language that are translated in this way. And they're almost always used, these words are almost always used when there's some kind of conflict, when there's some kind of difficulty. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, there are all kinds of trials and suffering and difficulties and obstacles that we must endure in life. Now, that sounds like the life you know, right? There are high times and there are low times. There are bad doctor visits and bad doctor reports. There are car wrecks. There are financial problems. There are difficulties with family members and friends. There are burdens and hurts and sorrows in life. And Peter says that those things are normal. Those things come along to every one of us. James says that when you encounter all of life's trials, respond this way. Now, here's the word. Peter uses the word, and he says, we must be meek in the midst of suffering. Now, he's not saying we must be quiet and, you know, the one view of Stoicism is that we just grit our teeth and say nothing. But that's not what Peter is saying here. He is saying that in the midst of suffering, we should continue to remember that Jesus is in control, and then act as if he's in control. Now that is incredibly difficult to do. Incredibly difficult to do. We have some acquaintances where there's been the wife is a believer and the husband is not. And they're about my age, and they had gone through, the husband is not a believer, but he's got some real, real questions about Christianity. He's curious about it. He's agnostic, he says. But he fancies himself very intellectual, and so he's got all kinds of questions and objections. He's not controlled by the Spirit at all. And they went through an incredibly difficult time. An incredibly difficult time, the circumstance in their family. It was so hard. And so because of the wife's relationships, many people were saying to them, just remember, God is in control. Well, for me, when I've been going through difficult times, that has been a comfort for me. Have you ever been through it like that? Something hard happening? And somebody reminded you that God was still in control. God was there helping you and taking care of you. God was there loving you and by your side, even in the midst of the storm and the trial and the trouble. And it was comforting. Sure you have. You felt that. Not this friend. Oh, he was offended. He was offended because if God was in control, it would this and it would that. He was completely offended. You see the difference? The first is meek. The second is not. And our sinful hearts are not meek. Our sinful hearts, our sinful nature causes us to reject meekness. We want to be filled with pride and anger and self-control and self-determination. And meekness yields that to Jesus. It is an attitude of the heart, and it propels us to action. You think about Jesus when he's being arrested, and the soldiers are beating him and taunting him, and the scripture uses the word revile. They revile. They were trying to humiliate him. Do you remember what Jesus did? Nothing. He didn't return the anger and the humiliation. Why? Because he was under the control of the Father, and he had a purpose. He had a plan. He had an agenda. And right then, his own humiliation served the purpose of the kingdom. That's hard, isn't it? That's hard in my life. I bet it's hard in your life. There's a second passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2. All right? When you're facing heresies and heretics, we should face them with meekness, not assertiveness. Now, there's an interesting thing happening in the last 20 years or so, 25 years in Southern Baptist life. The rise of the Reformed movement, it's kind of a neo-Calvinism movement, has been very prominent in the Southern Baptist Convention. It grows out of Southern Seminary, and it has caused more and more young pastors and more congregations to move in the direction of this Calvinistic neo-Reformed movement, and some move very, very far, and they become Presbyterians. Okay, others just move a little bit. What I have said to people is, and I've had this happen: if you just read the Bible verses, if you just read the verses in the Bible and don't say anything about them, many Baptists will be offended and call you a Calvinist. If you just read the Bible verses, because the Bible it says more about God's sovereignty than most American Christians want to acknowledge. But the Reformed movement is aggressive. It's too far in my view. But here's something that is about them: they are some of the most aggressive theologians in the country. They are aggressive in calling out. If you disagree with them, you're a heretic. And they are just antagonistic in their discussions. There's no meaningful theological dialogue where we kind of cite the scripture and tell our opinion and our reasoning for our interpretation and lay. They're almost mean sometimes. They're quick to call others a heretic. And Timothy says, really, don't do that. Don't do that. Do it with meekness. Do it with kindness. Do it with gentleness. Remember, Paul writes to the Galatians, and he gives that list of the 9 fruits of the Spirit. So, love, joy, and peace, everybody can remember those, the first 3, but the next 6 get a little tougher, right? But gentleness and meekness and self-control, and those are all in there, right? Well, that's what Paul is writing to Timothy here. He's saying, when you're facing, one is outside the church. Peter's talking about trials and troubles that come outside the church. Paul is telling Timothy, sometimes there are going to be trials and troubles that come inside the church. I know that's a little bit shocking for some new pastors who get out of seminary that they'd get to a church and they wouldn't all just love one another. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, when you deal with these problem people, do it with meekness, do it with kindness, not with self-assertiveness. So what do we have? Let's see if we can put this together. It starts with an attitude of the heart, a way of thinking, but it doesn't stop there. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. It starts with a way of thinking, but it moves on into a right action so that we act in a way that is kind, that is self-controlled, that is gentle, that is guided by the Spirit, that puts Jesus first, that thinks of the kingdom of God ahead of my own wants and needs and desires. It moves into those actions. This is true. The desire to be meek and the willingness to be meek and the submission to be meek is not only true for individual believers. We see it in some other places. We see it in a husband and wife relationship, right? If one of you, in a marriage, if one of you always has to have your own way and you can never be meek, that marriage is going to have a lot of conflict, isn't there? What about in a church and in a congregation? If a church always has to have its own way over the pastor, or a pastor has to always have his own way over the church, there's going to be a tremendous amount of conflict. Churches are that way in trying to determine their own way versus what the kingdom talks about and what the Lord talks about. Bible says that the church is here for a mission, that God has a mission and he sends the church to execute the mission. Too many churches get caught up in a different mission. And as a result, they have conflict and eventually they die because they are not about a kingdom mission. So, there's a wonderful verse that is pretty convicting for me, and I trust it will be for you as well. It's in Ephesians 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and slander be put away with all malice. Rather, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, as Christ forgave you. Now that's easy to do with people we like. Hard to do with people we don't like. And even harder to do with people who don't like us. And the hardest to do with people who don't like us and they will not be persuaded by our own meekness, by our own kindness, by our own tender-heartedness. You see the biblical pattern there? Those who will inherit the earth are those who let bitterness and wrath and anger fall away. I look at our political landscape today and I don't see very much meekness, tenderness, kindness, self-control in any of the political spheres. We must be exceedingly careful that we don't try to align the gospel with a political party. Only a truly meek person can live in the biblical admonition to let bitterness and wrath and anger fall away and instead be kind. Now, there's a preacher. He was a preacher in England for a number of years. His name is Martin Lloyd Jones, a prolific writer, and he had this kind of conversation. He was reminding us about the hymn Amazing Grace. You know the hymn? Think about the words here for just a minute. Don't have to sing it with me, but maybe even say the words. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that what? Saved a wretch like me. Now, when I sing that song, when you sing that song, we're calling ourselves a wretch, a horrible person. So it's one thing to sing about myself or about yourself, but how do you react when someone else says it about you? When someone else says you're a horrible person? Well, I got got to tell you, too often, my reaction is not meek. Now, there was a time when my not meek reaction I was very proud of. And as I have grown in the Lord, the first thing that happened was my not meek reaction caused me to feel guilty. Let me finish telling you about Martin Lloyd-Jones, and I'll tell you about my not meekness story. Here's what he says. The man who is meek is not sensitive about himself. He is not always watching himself and his own interest. He's not always on the defensive. To be truly meek means we no longer protect ourselves because we have nothing worth defending. Now that's a quote. And then he goes on to talk about the truly meek. They never pity themselves. They're never brooding. They're never thinking about how wonderful I am and if other people only would give me a chance or people would only listen to me, everything would be better. Martin Lloyd-Jones went to heaven a long time ago, but those words still ring true. It's true of church leaders especially, pastors, staff members, deacons, leaders in the church. You need to listen to me. I know what I'm doing. That can get us so far away from being meek. Now, meekness is not weakness. We're clear on that. It is a heart that is under control. It is a strength that is under control. Greed, power, politics, influence, that's the opposite of all of this. We've talked about the fruits of the Spirit and starts with a desire to be like Jesus and approved by God, and we respond to conflict with kindness and gentleness. And I have numerous occasions where I failed miserably. I was pastor at a church in New Mexico, and there was a woman who was there who was widely known as a woman with a critical spirit. She was a loudmouth, and she was critical, and she always let other people know what she was critical about. And she was critical of the music, she was critical of the youth ministry, she was critical, I mean, you name it. Pick the paint, it was critical of the paint. Somebody gave a bunch of money, she criticized everything. And so one Sunday, she came during the invitation, and she said, I want to talk to the church. And I thought, this is a mistake. This is bad. But I was trying to be meek. I actually thought, well, not about you, Bruce. It's about the kingdom. And so we got our microphone and let her talk. And for about 5 to 7 minutes, she just ranted and railed and just everybody was wretched. Right? And I didn't walk up and strangle her. Right, so I felt pretty good about that. Right, I mean, so far so good. I my heart was not very meek, but I didn't kill her, and you know, there was a moment there where assault was on the table. Right, but I'm wrestling with the Lord. Right, I'm trying to do the right thing here. Well, as it turned out, there was lunch that day. The senior adults were having lunch. And so I was walking in and just chatting with people and shaking hands and, hey, how are you doing? And was going on and all that, and kind of a tug on my jacket. Turned around, she was about this tall, you know. She had that finger in my face. I told you what I was going to do. And all meekness left my body. And I just really was not very Christ-like for a bit. And busted her pretty hard. I was embarrassed, and she was embarrassed, and everybody was embarrassed that the pastor had lost his temper. And I to this day I'm embarrassed that I was not more self-controlled. She had it coming. No doubt she had it coming. She was not filled with the Spirit, but neither was I. And the Lord won't let me forget that episode because of where I need to grow in my own life and how I need to grow in my own life, and that even at my age, I still need to grow in the attitude of the heart and the actions of my life. Because it means that to be meek, to be filled with the fruits of the Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit, means that I will be more like Him in all the circumstances, especially those where I am attacked or criticized or would feel embarrassed. He calls me, especially in those moments, to put aside the anger and the wrath. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard to define. It's one of the hardest of these eight. It might be the hardest to do. So this week, maybe you'll spend some time thinking about when you could have been, should have been meek, and you weren't. And that the Holy Spirit will use it to make you more like Jesus. Not to beat you down, but to point you onward to be more like Him. Let's pray together. So, Father in heaven, the challenge of the Scripture is great. It is, and in this case, usually the Scripture is easy and clear. It's just hard to do. And in this case, it's murky, even the definition. But that just makes it even harder to do. So, Lord, for each one of us, we pray to help us to be meek. Help us to put aside all of the fruits of the flesh and to put on all of the fruits of the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, and, Lord, to love You and serve You and to love others through Your power. We pray in Jesus' name.